Hey, got the morning show with Aaron. That's Oliver Tree with Cowboys Don't Cry, and mercifully it's still quiet down Bow Street at the moment. I don't know if that'll last forever, but in the meantime, we're going to talk to Marie. Welcome to the studio, Marie.
Morning, Aaron, and whaingaroa, ata Maria.
So Marie is a local counsellor therapist. Marie Harworth is her name.
I was just thinking about that comment, that song you just, and it said, "What cowboys don't cry."
You want to start with that? I think it's a cynical reading of this of the line, "Cowboys don't cry."
Dear.
If we'd listened more to the lyrics, we would know. But we do, yes, we do talk about things like this. We were planning to talk about, I see it as equipping ourselves to handle Facebook, social media.
Here we go.
And particularly something I've noticed, and this is very me to notice this, is people being, people with political motives find it very easy to get a reaction off people on Facebook. It used to be that you had to do your political manipulation through the media and you had to try to pretend to be balanced about it, but now there's no intention to be reasonable. And one of the things, actually the thing that prompted me to talk about this when you came in, Marie, was I know one person from Israel and their Facebook feed at the moment, I can't bear to look at it. There's some awful, awful stuff on there. The Israeli population's clearly been fed some quite disgusting propaganda. Mm. Like, it's really quite just horrible, some of it. As a population, they're so vulnerable right now because they are feeling threatened. They're not as threatened as the Palestinian population, as is now very evident with the number of deaths in Palestine versus in Israel, or in Gaza. But they still feel vulnerable. They're worried about their kids, and it's very easy to trigger them into a rage, you know, like a race-hating rage, basically, or an enemy-hating rage. And during the election, and even before then, we saw that as well. People with political motives find it very easy to trigger some sections of our population with just putting the right thing on Facebook, you know.
I think there's even, and there's more than political, there's religious as well that will sit behind all of what's happening over there. There's a lot of people, there's a lot of discord.
But we need to know when we're being manipulated on Facebook. And for some things, it's pretty obvious. Like if they make it, like I look on the Raglan Humour Board, and some of the stuff that's posted on there to me has clearly come from that, like someone with political intentions, and the people on there are being used. They don't think they are because it's genuinely something that they react to.
Yeah, and we're drawn to it because it's happening in the world.
But
right
it's encouraging their darker side,
absolutely,
a little bit.
And look, Facebook is great platform for this, and
we all know it. We know it too. We know it, but
the awareness around it probably is good for it not to be dulled out in regards to keeping it alive and active about how much Facebook has an impact on our life, or Twitter, or Instagram, whatever it is that you're connected into, and the things that you bring up on your feeds every day, and what you are first connecting into, you know. So our health and well-being is attached to what we watch and what we listen to, and so we could have a great environment, but the things we're feeding into our mind every morning when we wake up could set our day up to be quite kind of negative before we even start.
Don't wake up and grab your phone and look at Facebook then?
How many times do we look at Facebook and we can read that message on Facebook? There's people that put there on Facebook that say, don't pick up your phone and read Facebook, or don't read these social media.
So are you seeing that message on Facebook?
Yeah, in the morning. I don't see it.
Because the thing is, your feed is very personalised to you.
Yeah.
And I only mostly use it for work.
Right.
Because I need
use
to keep
it
in
for
touch.
Animals.
For animals.
And fun, and fun and laughter. I do tend to bring up a lot of things that all make me laugh.
I don't get a lot of that on mine. It's because I'm trying to chase up
algorithms.
I'm trying to chase up what's happening in Raglan.
Yeah, and we need to be aware of algorithms. Do people even understand what that is? How that, you know, when we watch one thing on Facebook and we spend more than, you know, 5 seconds on it, it's going to pick up that you're interested in that, and so it's going to feed everything into you.
Even if it's something you hate.
Yeah, and you could have just put your phone down, right, and you're talking to somebody and you've left it open on a page, on somebody's post, on somebody's whatever bid or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And you've left it open for quite some time. There's a certain time where the algorithms will pick up that you've probably left your phone open, and so you're not actually looking at that. But if it's within a smaller time frame, it will pick up that you are watching it, and it will send you every bit of information it can around what you are looking at. So,
and also, if it's something that makes you angry,
like you're going to get it.
There's that politician I hate, and you're just drawn to it. You can't not look. Facebook goes, you think you hate that?
Wait till you see
what else we got.
And
it'll just bring you more. And so you have to stay disciplined just to avoid that.
Well, you do. And I'm not sure how this all works if over time, when you stop looking at the thing that has brought up everything else, you know, you stop looking at those feeds, whether they tend to fade off. And I'm thinking it does work like that.
Yeah, it does.
And then a new one pops up. So you can adjust what you look at. When I ask my husband what he, you know, comes up on his feed, lots of gardening, and there's massive amounts about, you know, growing things and gardening and all of that. None of that comes up on my feed. I get there's lots of comedy I watch and warm fuzzies about animals that are really funny, and so lots of that comes up on my feed. And I've never watched anything around Israel or anything like that. So nothing like that comes up on my feed. But for you're telling me that other people will get heaps about
this is someone I'm friended to. Yeah. So I do, this stuff's going to, you know, your friend stuff is going to pop up.
That's right. And anyway, so, but if you were to click
into past it really fast now because it is quite awful. Like, it really is. It's very disheartening to see. I mean, it's given me an insight into that situation over there. Like, there's now intergenerational hatred being sown. There already was, but it's now been made much worse at the moment. And some of it is based on real atrocities that have happened.
Yeah.
But some of it has obviously been amplified now by Facebook. Yeah. And the populations over there are very vulnerable to receiving this hatred on their social media feed at the moment.
My poor little brain is spinning around sideways at the moment, thinking about all these, you know, these comments that you're making in regards to what is happening over there, what we're reading, what information we are being informed by. And, you know, everyone has a story, and these are all stories that are coming out of, you know, places that are getting war torn and devastation is happening, and everyone's carrying their own story. And I think stories need to be heard, but we need to hold them with great care because they're somebody's experience and their story of something. So our opinion over that, or our speaking into that, is taking away from their experience. So sometimes a story just needs to be a story. This is my experience of this situation right now. This isn't the big picture. This is my experience, what I'm going through. And sometimes we just need to hear that experience and sit with it, because we can't do anything about that experience. It is their experience. Us speaking into that and talking about how that is for them, and, you know, our opinion about that, is just us speaking it. It's their experience. Let it be their experience. We don't have to dissect it and pull it apart and make it into something that we want it to fit another picture, that we want it to fit this whole big picture that we see around what's happening in overseas. And so we take a small story and we plant it in and we go, this is how it is. But actually, lots of people have many different stories about what's going on, and some of those stories are going to be amazing. Like, incredible feats of human kindness and incredible connection with others that would never have happened if we aren't going through something that is causing discord. There's too many ways of looking at this. Sometimes I think things need to be, you know, thrown up in the air for things to come back down again and reshuffled around. And I'm not talking about what's happening over in Israel about that. I'm just talking about in general. When we have discord, sometimes we need things to be thrown in the air to come back down again and be resettled, because they have to be.
Are you saying we're going through a phase at the moment, like a post-COVID phase of unsettledness? and that things will jostle about for a bit and then it will resettle?
I think that with COVID and what we've gone through, anything that's happening in the world now, we're going to make it bigger than you know, it's going to have a huge impact on us because we're still dealing with our own unsettledness, our own trauma, our own anger at what happened with all the injections, you know, needles in people's arms.
Well, there's yeah, and there's people who are angry that they had to have needles, and there are other people angry that those people wouldn't have needles.
Yeah. And that was our focus, and that could have caused a massive separation in our country, which it did in many ways. Yeah, we're still trying to bring that back together.
And it has in our community,
and it's been in our it's our focus. And everyone has a story and an opinion around this, and so whatever you're attracted to is what you're going to gravitate towards. So if you're attracted to the story that is about against immunisation, vaccinations. If you're in amongst that group, you know you're going to hear all those stories, and they're going to anger you. Some of the things that you hear. If you're with the other group, you're going to hear those stories.
And even without social media, we've always been like this. We've always we're kind of wired to notice the things. I mean, there's part of our brain that specifically does it. We get all this information.
We'll pick it
out. There's more information we get in than we can handle. This is what other guests have told me. And so there's a part of our brain that goes, okay, you've been really focused on this a lot, so we're going to make sure you notice all these things and filter out all the other things. So if you've been in a really negative mindset, you'll mostly notice negative things happening out there and gloss. You won't even see the positive things.
Ah, exactly.
So yeah, but
depending
even before
on the group,
algorithms,
you're gravitating.
Yeah, but even before algorithms, which amplify that, we were still like that. So
exactly, except for this is now we're seeing it in social media on a phone, you know, whereas before it was about the communication we had with each other. And so everyone may not have been involved with that, but now everyone is involved in our conversations because we have social media where we describe what, you know, we're thinking. And we want other people to have their say about that too, which is all good and fine, but how much do we want to pull somebody's story apart and make it ours when it's not ours, it's theirs? And their story is their story. What they want to give us out of what they know, sometimes we just need to accept that and not try and bring other things into it. Pull a piece of that story out and make it bigger in another place. And you might not be following me on this, but I know when people tell their stories and another person hears that story, they'll pick a person's piece of that story out and make it their own and go, well, yes, I agree, and this is what it is, you know, this is what I know about that. And suddenly their story becomes my story. And it's actually not, and it's not my experience either. So, you know, we can hear what's coming out of worn, torn places, and it's going to be full of trauma and discord and anger and hurt. Of course. Tell me where war was ever good. Tell me where taking another person's life was ever going to be acceptable. I don't know why we find this so... I don't know, out of the box or something, because we've been doing it forever. We've been killing each other off, hating what the other person does, unaccepting, controlling.
Well, it's been in our news forever. It hasn't been happening in either of our lives.
Thank goodness.
Yeah.
Well, as of mine, there's definitely been violence in mine at a smaller scale.
It hasn't been war, though.
Well, war within me depends on how you
No, look at I'm it. Thinking of officially declared war with armies and bombs and stuff like that.
You never know.
I know you've had certainly had you've talked about traumatizing experiences earlier in your life, so I'm not saying that didn't happen.
Yeah,
I was just trying to look on the bright side, but because the news does distort what's going on in the world in terms of proportion.
Because the
news is mostly bad. Whereas most of the stuff going on at any one time is actually not bad
in the world. Honestly, Aaron, we've got to think about this. At what point do we ever think that we're going to listen to something about, you know, children being hurt and think that that's going to feel okay in us? None of those stories we're going to agree with, are we? They're going to cause discord. They're going to cause anger.
The trouble is once you get into that state of discord and anger, you gravitate to more discord and anger.
That's what I mean. Somebody else's story becomes your story. Yeah. And suddenly you're taking on what was never yours to take on anyway, but you will champion the cause because it's caused an effect in you. And, of course, we need to be upset about wars and hurting each other, but we're not changing it. Like, we haven't changed any of this. We're still doing the same thing we've always done at the very top level.
If enough people work together and organise together, changes can happen. But
wouldn't that be amazing if we did that? If social media was able to actually bring people together to fight a common cause, which is sitting at the top for us,
that would be very threatening to the people at the top if social media was having that effect. They would change it. They would change it instantly. In fact, there may be a time when some social media was having that effect.
Wouldn't it be incredible where the effect was actually for the people and not against the people? What if, you know, if we woke up and actually realised that these stories are damaging us? And actually, we don't like war. We don't like killing each other. You know, there's something wrong with human nature. People say that's too easy. You can't just stop war. You can't just cut this out. It goes back in history. People are angry. People are, you know, this is my land. This is your land. It's like nobody actually owns it. None of yous own it. You didn't own it. You're never going to own it. It was never yours when you came here, and it's not going to be yours when you leave here. So leave it alone.
When you say leave, you mean we leave this mortal coil.
Leave the earth.
Yeah.
It'd be nice if you wanted to leave it a better place which is what a lot of people are trying to do, and shift our thinking into more, hey, this is our planet. Best we look after it.
One of the problems that people have been saying is that we notice threatening things easier than we notice nice things, but there's a lot of thing about how humans are warlike. It's our nature to be warlike. Which I actually think is utter nonsense because the president of whatever country would go, let's go to war, and all the people would go, yeah. Instead, they say, there's an evil enemy over there who is threatening us and wants to do us in, or we need to rescue those people. You know, there's always a reason to go to war.
Yes.
If we were actually warlike by nature, they would just say we're going to war and everyone would get excited.
That's true.
But then
we'd
probably also die out as well because we keep going to war.
That's true.
Yeah.
And that's the truth right there.
Yeah.
If we were warlike, we would go to war because it's driven in us and this is who we are. But our nature, we're not actually. If we are that way inclined, one would have to look up how we were brought up to be so aggressive.
Well, yeah, yeah. Because there are some like that. But, yeah, we have to be manipulated into going to, as a population, huge amounts of effort going into manipulating us to approve of war.
How many of our men went to war who didn't want to go to war? How many of our men were terrified or just did not want to take life? You know, we have caused people to do things that they didn't want to do for a cause greater than themselves, which is to care for our country because we didn't want our country taken over. I get it. I get all
well,
that.
Well, except most of the wars that New Zealand's fought in as a nation have been so far away that there was no danger. There was never any danger.
No.
So again, a lot of propaganda required a lot of arguments to reason why we should be involved in those wars.
Yeah.
But I do have a bit of an answer to your question there because there was some research that the US Army undertook at one point, and it was – they found out that most of their soldiers were shooting above the heads of the enemy soldiers.
So then they
went about...
breaks my heart.
Yeah.
It's so sad.
And then, of course, well, the sadder bit is then they then strategized to work out how to make their soldiers more bloodthirsty.
Aggressive, which they gave them drugs, Aaron.
Possibly that was one of the ways they did it, yeah.
Did.
I mean,
when you look at
but
war
that's, but
and
that's
what we've done
nature.
To people to make them do what they did not want to do... and then if you didn't do it, you were court-martialed, you know. So there was, yeah, I just, the whole thing about it, we don't, as a planet of people, we don't step back
as a
group and go, heck, this is really, why are we doing this?
Well, sometimes we do, but usually we have to go through the experience first, then afterwards be like, that's not good.
Because we always need leaders and we always need somebody to speak up and say something. You know, it's always going to head this way that where somebody has to be the voice. You know, I have a faith, so I only believe in one voice that's gonna solve all of this.
Yes, but this, you know well that there's people who step in the middle of in between the voice you're hearing and claim to be the voice, and
yes,
encourage war in the name of God.
Thank you. I appreciate that you've even spoken that out, because I agree. And that annoys me beyond anything.
Mm.
But because I too have people speaking my story, because I do have a faith and I have a strong faith, but my story might not be the same as everyone else's story when it comes to my Christian walk. And I might have a different story in how I see that. We don't all sit under the same banner of how we see things. So for me, I believe in Jesus, and I believe in his nature and what he brought to this earth. I really, really do. I'm so thankful for that heart that came.
But it doesn't mean you think exactly the same things that everyone else who says they're a follower does.
No, I do not.
Yeah.
And I just don't. And I'm not going to fall into the trap of a man's belief, and I don't mean a man, I mean mankind's belief, you know, like in general, we all have, you need to do this, you need to do that, you know, we're all human beings, we can make our minds up, we do grow and we do develop, and we must see that in each other. Nobody has the answer, nobody can tell you the answer, this is something you look for in, within yourself, you will find it. The more you develop yourself, the more you challenge yourself around this discord that is happening all around you and how you're reacting to it. Is it coming from a place of peace, or is it coming from a place of aggression?
Do you think that, because we've talked about how we had a tendency once we got into a negative mindset to focus on, it's natural for us to focus on more negative stuff, and then we talked about how social media is amplifying that. Do you think actually social media is giving us an opportunity, because it's intensifying it so much, an opportunity to see that we don't want to have that in our lives anymore?
It could go that way, Aaron.
Because it's bad enough
that
you're like, you're just like, holy cow, this is good. I'm taking action.
It could. It could be
rid myself
of
this
benefit if we were clever enough as a human species to actually connect. For the first time ever across the entire world, we can connect with each other. And look how we're using it. We're using it for discord. We're using it to tear each other apart, to show how
The thing is, we haven't gone in with that intention. Some people have, and that's a lot of stuff that's fed, especially around political times, but around war times, a lot of stuff is fed in to trigger responses from people and to trigger them to feel angry and go into that fight or flight mode.
Flight or freeze. Like, so let's just pause there, because I do want to pause there, because I want to look at that word trigger. Because it's a bit like anxiety and depression. I'm hearing it a lot, Aaron. Okay, oh, you don't want to trigger that person. You don't want to trigger this. You don't want to trigger that. And I'm like, okay, let's look at this word trigger, because I'm hearing it too much.
Yeah.
And if I'm hearing it too much, then to me, it's because we are now placing a word over a action that we're afraid of, right? So we're getting triggered. So tell me, I want to know what's happening for you. You know, get past the word triggered, because all it is a word. You're not describing anything. What I want to know, what is happening for you? And then we might get to some real feelings about, actually, you know, I'm hurting over this. This has made me angry. I don't know what to do with that anger. I don't know what to do with what I'm hearing. And then we can actually help people rather than walking around like angry, wounded people over situations we can do nothing about, or if we could do something about, we're not gathering together enough to make an impact, to cause a difference. So what, we want to be gnarly little people sitting in the background getting angrier and angrier, and it's only affecting us. It's going to kill us. Your health, your well-being, how you see the world, how you see everything around you can be tainted by this discord that we are hearing about continuously. Like, it's poisonous. It's not going to be good.
Well, a lot of people have removed themselves from Facebook, especially.
I don't even watch the news anymore, Aaron.
Well, no. Well, the news is a waste of time. Like, especially like the TV news, it's very, very hard to...
I might know that, but I tell you what, a lot of people don't know
that. People
think
they've been responsible by watching the TV news, but I was on the TV news during COVID, and they quoted me for half a sentence.
Mm.
I talked for 10 minutes about stuff. I thought carefully about what I wanted to say, and I made this throwaway aside comment, and they gave half of that sentence, and that was it. Right? So there's... And also, there's no... Like, they have to be sensational, and in order for something to be sensational, like if it's a political issue, if you explain it properly, people go, oh, now I understand why that's happening. So they're incentivized to not explain things properly.
Mm.
Which that only just after 20 years of this, it's only dawned on me that specific issue, that they're actually incentivized to not explain things, because then it won't be sensational and you won't react to it and pick up the newspaper or click on the link.
And that's your story.
Yeah, this is.
And nobody would have heard that story, Aaron. All they would have seen was your, or heard, was your off comment in that news clip, right?
Yeah.
And you were left with all that residue from actually not being heard. Only a piece of your, an offhanded comment actually was used. That would have annoyed you immensely. And you were misrepresented in what you wanted to say. Right?
I kind of knew that was going to happen.
Yeah, but that's your story. But that's the story that no one gets to hear.
One thing that was positive out of it, I do want to mention, because I did talk to the journalist about how terrible it would be, because this is the moment Raglan, COVID arrived in Raglan, and there were TV journalists everywhere putting microphones under people's noses saying, did you know that Raglan's behind the national average by X percent in terms of vaccine update?
Oh,
and later,
gosh,
when the stats came out, when we got proper stats for the whole country, we found we were about average for a rural town.
Yeah,
so there was no controversy. But I did talk to the journalist about how awful it would be for our small community to have the whole country looking in on us and accusing us and pointing the finger at us. And her report was not as harsh as the other TV reports.
Right.
So I think she took it on board a little bit.
Yeah.
Probably her editor was like, "Oh, your article wasn't as good as the other TV ones," but you know, I don't know. I was able to speak to her and be heard, even if they used my most soundbitey bit.
Yeah.
In the actual report,
I think what I'm trying to pull out is the fact that your story about how it was in regards to what was heard from you, right, and in the what was actually given out from what you said, the impact on that on you, that's happening everywhere to everybody in our news presenting, right? They are interviewed, given, they try and give their story, right? They believe that they're going to give their story. By the time it gets edited and presented, their story is given in a way that's is left out. It's not the story that they first started out with. It's been manipulated. You're left with that. There's so many people like this all over the place that are left and with their stories really unheard, and the news media have gotten and turned it how they want it to be. So a lot of
unless you're a skilled politician, in which case you've had lots and lots of training in how to deliver a soundbite that would be advantageous to you.
Yeah,
but really. And that's a skill, but all they're doing is playing into that system of news gathering where they're certainly not giving an intelligent explanation about anything.
And you know this because you're on the other side of media,
yeah,
right? But other people don't know this. So your story is important because the only story we're really getting is what's on Facebook or on the news. So those are the stories we're hearing, and we can tell by what you're telling us that even those stories have been manipulated. Those stories that we actually end up receiving have been manipulated by the editing.
Or at a very simple level, everyone has a bias, and when you've got 15 minutes of footage and 10 seconds to put something in,
that's it.
And you're pushed for time,
right.
then your internal biases are just going to express themselves, and that's very natural, and that's not an accusation, that's just reality. So at its best, still lots of human bias.
And that's what we're getting
for TV news, especially
these snippets of moments that are horrific. But that's what we're carrying within us. is these stories that actually aren't. Is that the whole story?
And do you know what? That's all we've talked about today too. Is like we're actually kind of wallowing in this a little bit ourselves.
Yeah.
Like we've removed ourselves 1 degree from it and said, well, we're not participating in it. But now we're sitting here. All we're doing is talking about.
The
people who we can see participating in it, and we're probably still in that vibration, if you want to use that word, a little bit. So,
well, I guess
it's important to be aware, but then you've got to figure out something else to do.
Well, this is it.
With your life.
Okay, so that's hilarious. You didn't just say we've got to figure out something else we've got to do with our life if we're not listening to those stories.
Well, this applies to me because I spent 20 years on the radio.
I'm sorry. Oh, my gosh.
No, I literally spent 20 years focused on trying to understand and trying to get accurate stories about the world. And I think I did. I think my understanding of the world was definitely more accurate than you get from the TV news, but I was still focused on negative stuff.
Yeah.
And there's a whole lot of the world out there where lots of great stuff's happening, or just normal. Well, the forest is growing, you know, the plants are growing, and the sea.
The bees are buzzing.
The surf's coming in, and all that stuff. And that's just natural, the wellness of the world happening.
Right, we're not really interested?
Well, that is the thing. Once you get focused on, you get into that negative headspace, you're not interested in that stuff. Mm. But there are people around who are very positive people, and they don't notice the negative stuff and don't get dragged into the politics. So I don't think it is our nature to just get dragged into negative stuff. I think that we are programmed, and we program ourselves, and we can reprogram ourselves.
We can reprogram ourselves.
Although it's tricky.
So you said, so let's bring that back. So how do we deal with that? Well, again, it's going to be, what boundaries do we want to put around our own life in regards to what we let in? So if you know that what you have been letting in is upsetting you, it's making you angry, you can't do anything about it, it's frustrating you, it's causing an effect on you and your family, then maybe it's about time you look to what you are looking at and decide, is this healthy for me? Should I keep doing this? Like, we need to start looking at the toxins we are allowing in when we're not doing any other feeding. So if you're not feeding in any goodness and you're just taking in a whole lot of poison, after a while, you're going to be poisoned by that. That will become your story. You will start to speak out other people's experiences and their stories as if they're yours, and they're not. You're not over there. You don't know what's happening. You're not part of it.
Yeah.
You've just taken a little piece, and we're horrified by it, and so we should be. We should always be horrified by war. We should always be horrified by taking life. Those are fundamental things. We should be, it's not right. But what are we doing about it? Because if the government calls us to war, we go, right?
Not anymore, in the Western world. It's not like World War II.
No, because wars aren't fought like that anymore, but that's how it was. If you were given an order to go, you went. Well, I'd like to give an order to go that we don't go, and let's do something different. Let's flip this around a little bit. It's not going to happen. It's never going to happen because our human nature is not going to go that way. There's always got to be someone who leads and dominates and says how things are going to be. And our history is evident of that. You know, we're paying for things in our past still, from generations past. Who owns what? Who was here first? Whose foot touched this land owns it?
Things are better, though. Things are better.
Tell me. Good, then tell me.
Well, do I want to make this comparison now? I've been saying what's happening in Israel and Palestine is a colonial project, much like happened here. So the attitudes I'm seeing over there and the hatred over there is probably what people were feeling in this country 100 years ago.
Absolutely.
And then I guess there was a result, and that the Pākehā culture dominated. And then, like, if we listen to our grandparents, they were so racist, so much hatred directed toward Māori people. And then as time wore on, Pākehā people didn't, new generations didn't feel threatened. They hadn't lived through that. They didn't have all that hatred in them. And so my parents' generation they're considered to be racist these days, but they were barely visibly racist compared to previous generations. And then and now a lot of Pākehā people are encouraging of sorting out the mess that was created back then, because we don't feel threatened by it. I think because that's fear and feeling threatened is a large part of what's behind racism.
So if you look at our history,
so we've had time for it to wear off.
Yeah,
it took 100 years.
Yeah, but Aaron, we've got such minimal history in New Zealand. We're minimal here.
What, in terms of length of time?
Yeah.
Yeah, we packed a lot in, though, after Captain Cook arrived.
You're right. We have been able to bring things around, and that's, I think, because we don't have a big history, right? But when you look at Israel and those historic places, their history is deep.
So they go back
so many generations to what happened, and it's filtered all the way down.
But you're still choosing to use that thing from 2,000 years ago, or whenever, I don't know how many thousand years ago, you're still choosing to use that as an excuse for someone's choosing to use it as a justification for war.
We can use excuses all we want at the end
of the
day.
Like they're using God as a justification as well.
If God's word's true, it's true, and if it's not, it's not. You know, we're going to live our lives out regardless of what is or isn't. What I do know is that our human nature does need to be challenged in regards to veering more towards development of self rather than annihilation of self and others, and we tend to annihilate rather than.
But that's what I'm saying. I don't think that is our nature. That's not our nature. That's a distortion.
Okay.
And it's very, because that's, otherwise we'd, our leaders would just say, "Let's go to war," and everyone would be hurrah, you know, we're going to war. And it sounds silly, because it is silly, because that's not how it works. We have to have a justification.
Yeah, we do.
Always has to be a justification. There has to be a reason and a righteous reason to go to war.
There we go. And
so we're being manipulated.
Yeah.
One way or the other, even if it's really
basic.
We
are taking somebody's story,
yeah,
and we are making it our own. We are finding something in that story that has upset us enough to go, okay, I'm going to go against everything that within me and do something that I wouldn't normally do. You know, it's not our natural way.
So what is our story then? What is our story as an individual who's been born into the world?
What's our story?
What's a baby's story then?
Mm.
What's the story of a human being before propaganda arrives?
Well, it comes through us, Aaron, the adults.
I know, but what are we?
So, what are we giving to our children? You got to ask. What regurgitated things are we setting our children up for in the future? You know, it's all going to come down to the parents.
What are we before then?
What are we before then?
Yeah.
You're gonna ask me that question, Aaron.
What's a baby, right? A baby is not conniving or manipulative or, you know, right?
Clean slate, like I say, but it's you and me, it's the parents who are going to speak into that and the environment.
But our real story is what our real story is, that story before people try to affect us, right? Like, and what are we then? I know you're going to say we're spirit, and you're going to say that spirit's good, probably.
You wouldn't. I mean, we don't even have time for what I want to say.
No, we've got three minutes.
You've given me 3 minutes to give you my story.
Well, but my point is because you're talking about stories, and to start with, like you said at the start, you were wondering if it was making sense, but I'm kind of getting that, like this, when some leadership says we're going to war and they give a story that gets people emotionally people get emotionally invested in that story, they get triggered, they want to go to war.
I want to take that trigger away and actually go to what you're feeling.
Yeah, of course, of course. Yeah, as a counsellor, you want to unpack that.
Yeah.
But what I was trying to unpack was, what is our story before other people tried to put a lot of stuff onto us?
Oh, okay. So let me... if you want to know what my story was before other people unpacked, or not unpacked, but other, I was impacted by other people's stories.
Yeah.
I guess it was just simply to be, Aaron. I was just, if I think back to that, and I do have a memory of the four-year-old in the field when I had first experience of God, which I did.
Yeah.
But that four-year-old, all she was interested in was the sun on her skin.
Yeah.
The smell of the grass in the field, the animals around her, just life. The butterfly, truly simple, yeah. simplistic stuff that was non-threatening, beautiful, and just simply alive and living. And I was a part of that, you know. So when I think about clean slate, I just think about the planet, and it's just, it's growing and doing what it does, and I'm part of it, and I'm involved with it, you know. The, nothing else is there. It's not about war or what you have and I want, or that you know something more than me, or that I'm insignificant and you're significant, you know. None of those sort of things. It's just as a clean slate of simply being.
Mm. And and you look at really little children, and they are good at having fun,
yeah.
and expressing joy,
yeah,
and
silly,
and yeah, and
they'll watch the
a lot of
the
positive
ant,
stuff.
They'll watch the ant, you know, carrying that leaf
curiosity.
Across the concrete
they're,
for hours.
They're good at curiosity, and you're always
curiosity.
Recommending that we be
yeah.
curious about what's happening in ourselves. But the little ones are good at curiosity, and I know there's people out there who'd be saying, "Yeah, but what about the terrible twos, which is."
I mean, that's how found. That's how we learn. I mean, that's about
but
that, growth.
But things go wrong. Like things go wrong, and little kids get upset. I actually think "terrible twos" is a terrible phrase, and we didn't use
yeah.
it, and we didn't believe in it, and we really didn't have it.
You don't. It doesn't have to be that.
You don't have to view it. You don't have to view it as a negative thing. You just view it as process.
So the "terrible twos" is a bit like the word "trigger," right? It's just a word that we have placed over things that we don't want to express any deeper. Right, it's not the terrible twos. A 2 year old is just learning to grow. They're learning to push their boundaries. They want to know where their boundaries are. If we talked about it more, more parents would understand what the 2 year old what that part of their growth is about. This isn't a terrible time. This is just your child learning about the world around
yeah,
them.
Yeah.
And you're building safety into them at this time because they are going to push every boundary they possibly can to try and figure out where the boundaries are. So it's not a terrible two. This is a two-year-old learning to grow. Their brain is at that place of that growth of what my world and how I function in it.
And I just wanted to deal with anyone out who was thinking like my portrayal of small children as being joyful and fun, and they're saying, well, it's not all like that. And
no.
and if you believe in the terrible twos, you'll see that a lot more. Because
yes.
I really didn't. And like I was lucky enough to have the perspective that you've just described, and I didn't see that time like that at all.
No, I didn't either.
And
I
never don't,
saw
and I don't,
that.
And I don't remember that. That wasn't
no.
my feeling, but I know other people have that strong feeling.
What I do remember,
so, yeah.
is my daughter pushing back on me at that time. I do remember that, and me going, "Well, I haven't seen that before. Like I'd never seen that in her before," and it was like, "Oh heck, okay, so I need to parent." I've got to start
yeah,
being
but
a
what
parent.
Yeah, but what does that mean? So we're getting a little bit off track, but I just wanted to, like, the question is, what are we without these stories that other people are trying to put or get us to attach to? What are we? And we are,
simple.
I think those, yeah, simple, fun, joyous.
Well, we're living, we're
stuff
alive,
like that.
And we're expectant. We don't have any, we're not thinking, you know, about, we're just being, Aaron, we're just being simply being present. In who we are in our environment, and we're not being affected by other things that we know nothing about, because we actually don't. We can only deal with what is happening. Like you and I in this studio right now is being present. There is nothing else. I mean, anything could happen out there. I don't know.
Well, you've got your back to the... I can actually see what's happening out the window, but...
A tree could fall down. I don't know. We don't know.
Branches are falling off trees. Yeah, that's literally what's happening in the middle of town today.
Yeah, don't try and predict. Pushing buttons. Let's just end it off and round it off a bit. The word trigger and pushing buttons. I really encourage people to challenge those words a little bit. Yeah, you know, ask a person, okay, so what are you feeling? Like, what's happening for you, right? Because you want to know a little bit more about this, what you think is your trigger, because all you're doing is getting angry about something that you've heard from somebody else, and that's going to do nothing for you or anybody. So think about what you're bringing in, what you are listening to, and how it's affecting your life. And if you really are passionate about change, then by all means be a part of change. you know, if that's what you're driven for, but don't bring people into your life and have an expectation that they are on the same page as you and feel the same as you.
Mm.
You know, if you want to do that, then you need to find your way through to do that, but don't make your story everyone else's story.